Welcome to Everyday Drinkers, episode number 39, Scotch Whiskies Revisited. This is the second time we've done an episode like this in 14 episodes back when we did this last time we had a little scotch. We ask that you respect the laws and drink responsibly. I'm your host, Eric Schulman. Today I have with me at a public location, an undisclosed public location, we have Mike and Luke. And
I can tell you exactly where it is.
Okay. And our esteemed single malt and blended drinking colleagues. Not that you've been blended, but you know. So where are you now?
We are at the Royal Mile, which is in downtown Des Moines, Iowa.
Is this like a bar or a pub or a restaurant with a bar and a pub?
Oh, a British pub.
Oh.
Yep.
A British pub. And
yep.
And they have scotch there?
Oh, they have a wall of scotch. And there's many different kinds. The menu for it is just wonderful. And we have selected a few from it to choose from.
So what does it cost to get do they do samples, or do you have to get them in a full sampler or a whiskey snifter or something?
Well, you get a finger for whatever it is, the standard measurement amount.
Yep.
And what does that run you?
It depends on the scotch, really.
Yeah. They have everything from, you know, there's one that's $5, and it goes all the way up to $75 or possibly more.
$75?
Where's the $75 one?
For a couple of fingers.
Let's get one of those.
Yeah.
It's a Macallan's 37-year Duncan Taylor.
Macallan, okay.
Ooh, a 38-year is $75. Yes, okay.
For just a small amount?
I guess so, yeah. Seems to be the case.
So, what year is that? Does it even say?
We're coming. What was it?
Here come the drinks. Fantastic.
You got music now back there.
Thank you.
Yep, the music has kicked on.
Back in black.
So this episode has the soundtrack.
Interesting.
I hope that's not coming through all day.
Awesome.
I see they're describing them.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
No, you're set.
That's a good look, yeah.
You do realize that your editing and cutting is going to be all kinds and obvious, considering.
You realize that there might not be any that goes on.
Or you could do some live streaming. That's or whatever you want to call it. Just cut the ends in the beginning and let it roll.
Exactly.
I could deal with that. Just
let the listeners decide what's good and what's not.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And because I mean, we screw up all the time, and we usually throw them at the end. It's not like we are removing anything from the show.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Then it's a new first for us, an unedited version. So what I also wanted to mention before I went on was that if people wanted an actual, like, a little bit more about scotch, between episode 30 and 31, I did an interview with Keith Law, which I sat down with Keith Law from Diageo, who does, I believe he does like the Johnny Walker label and a couple other ones in the blends and stuff like that. And he's more into a blended whiskey. What did you guys pick up? Are you doing like single malts or blended, or just picking randomly?
Yes, these are really just single malts that they serve here because that's what they get behind. They don't really believe in the blended ones.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's okay because I had both, and what I've poured thus far have all been single malts.
Excellent.
What have you got now?
Let's see. The first one that I have on the docket is the Glenlivet Mandura Triumph 17-year.
Ooh, 17-year?
Yep.
Wow,
the next one that I have is the Springbank 15-year. And then the third one is the... Ooh, that's a fun word. Bunahaban 18-year.
So what are you up to now, like $15 worth of samples?
Oh, that's per glass.
Oh, okay. Because I have, for instance, I have three, and they're all 15-year single malts, I think. I might have one that's a little older. No, I think they're all 15, and they were not cheap. That's like 60, 70 bucks a bottle.
Yep.
And Mike, what are you rolling with?
We've got two different scotches here. I believe the first one I'm going to try is the Laphroaig 10-year, and then the second one is the Glenmorangie 10-year. So both two 10-year scotches, but I guess we'll probably talk about this a little bit later, but the difference being where in Scotland know, these scotches come from, because it seems that each region has its own characteristics. So I got one from the Isle of Islay. That's the Laphroaig, and those tend to be a little bit more smoky.
Yeah.
And then you have the Glenmorangue, which is from Highland, and I don't really know what makes those what they are, but we'll try them out.
Yeah, see, I have the same kind of general problem is you can break down the difference of scotch into your single malt and your blended, and then you break them down even further. Then you have different types of grains, you have your pures, then you have your where was the malt, like where was it made. Like mine, I think, are Speyside, which is, I think, a Highland. So all of mine, I believe, are Highland. So if you have something different, that's even better.
Yeah, the Glenlivet that I have is the Speyside, and the Springbank is from Campbelltown, and then I also have a Highland.
So I have... Wait, what?
I was just wondering how much Luke's scotches were.
Oh.
Oh.
Now, you went with the... Now, you went 10, and he went crazy. Was that on purpose, or was it just... You?
I think it's just random pick, because, I mean, really, you can go all over the board. But I think mine were, like, $7, $8 per drink.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, from coming here in the past, I tend to gravitate a little more toward the more aged ones. So that's why I just kept that going.
The other thing I've done is whenever I... the problem I have is if you go to the store, I don't know what it's like over there. There's so many selections of different types of scotch that you're basically picking off whatever you think the best label is if you have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah.
And
the one that sounds classy.
Yeah, I know. Which is the first one you had listed off, Mike. I believe I've looked at buying. I just haven't. Because it's, I mean, you're looking at dropping $70, $60, maybe $50 if you're lucky on some of those. And the end result is if you don't like it, you've still got a bottle. And I don't know what you do with it.
Yes.
I guess that's one advantage about the bar is that you don't really see any of the labels. You're going, well, mostly strictly off name or what you've heard about them in the past.
Right.
You're not surprised by, you know, you're not going for the fancy bottle.
Except for, in the end, if you like it, you've got to be able to identify it, so you got to either write it down. Do they give you anything that you can kind of use to look it up, or do you just have to write it on a paper towel?
Really, you just have the selection menu, so just kind of remember.
Got to remember.
The other problem is that they all start with the name Glenn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Glenn being a very popular Scottish name, apparently.
Yeah.
What I have is I have a Glenfiddich 15. I have the Highland Park, which obviously is going to be a Highland single malt, 15, and a Dalwhinnie, 15, single Highland malt. So I went all 15. So we've got 10s, we've got 15s, and we've got 17s and crazy 18s and whatever else you got over there, like the high end.
So it's Scotch. You're already starting off with like a 10-year-old Scotch, no matter what. I mean, to be a Scotch, I think it has to be 10 years or something, doesn't it?
No, I have a Scoresby 4 year old.
Really?
Yeah, okay. It's kind of tastes like piss water and kind of light. Like it has the coloring and the tones of a Cuervo Gold, if you will. So it just doesn't. It was like $6, and I bought it for alcohols by volume tasting, and it was like our low end. I wanted to, you know, do a blind tasting and see if we can identify the bad stuff.
And yeah, it's basically what you're saying is, yeah, it should be at least 10 years.
Yeah, it was bad, and it was easy to pick out. It's just sour, bitter, like I don't know, like it just doesn't taste right.
Well, to a noob, which I am, to Scotch, it seems to be the general rule is, you know, the older the Scotch, the more rounded the flavor is going to be, the more you're going to get a fuller profile, whereas the young Scotches are just like straight up alcohol and hard to drink, just really hot.
Yeah, and I guess it depends on what you're looking for flavor, because as you get older, like when I was in Tales of the Cocktail, I had every Scotch that some of these brands like Glenfiddich had. And their 18 was pretty good. I like the 15 the best. It was like a different way of how they created it. But they went all the way up to 30. And there's very few brands that when you get to 30, you get more than just like the smoky oakiness. And I'm not so sure I'm a fan of that myself.
But, it's hard to say what I would like. I don't know.
All right. Well, what do you guys want to try something and tell me what you think?
Suppose, yeah, I'll try the, I'm going to start with the Highland because it looks like it's the lighter of the two scotches. It's the Highland Glenmorangie 10-year.
Yeah, 10, that's a nice start.
Kind of smells like Jameson right off the bat.
Jameson?
Like a typical $20 bottle of Jameson.
Do you like Jameson?
Oh, I do love Jameson, yeah.
All right, does that add some context? If you don't like Jameson, then that would be an obvious.
But it's
bad.
Mostly like, it's that heat that you're getting off it right away. I mean, that, maybe that's all scotch. It's just kind of the burning in the nostrils.
Right.
That does seem to be a fair characteristic of most all of them.
Well, my goodness. Yeah. It just warms you right up. Wow. Yep.
Are you drunk yet?
Drunk, like a sip. Just like, I inhale the fumes and now I'm drunk.
So now you look at that what you bought and the cost you paid for it. Do you think it's, and which one was that again?
Mine was a Glenmorangie. So it looks like it was about $9 for the pour. I don't know what a bottle of this would cost, but this is a lower price scotch for sure on the menu. $8.75. Am I going to do this for a beer? Beer's going to be half the price, but every once in a while it'd be nice to enjoy a scotch, and I think this comes in appropriately priced. Good flavor.
So that's, I'm looking at it now. So that was a 10-year, you said?
10-year.
10-year. I'm just Googling it to see what some of the prices. Glenmorangie 10-year-old, Speyside, single malt. Cost? Where the hell? They don't even buy. I want to buy it. So I Google that, and it comes up with. Oh, here's a price. Thewhiskeyexchange.com. They want £250. I don't think that's right. Oh no, that's an 1981 bottle. Yeah, this is all wrong. This is saying £150. And as far as I know, that's wrong. Because
you know the other question I have about a lot of these scotches. I mean, we're in, like, the only British pub of Des Moines, so I'm sure they import a bunch of stuff here. I don't know what's even available here without the store.
Right.
Like, I think there'd be a little bit more rarity available here than, say, what you can go buy down at Hy-Vee or something.
That's true. Yeah, you're going to get... These guys are going to be searching out, because they're going to... You know, they have a reputation uphold.
Yeah.
Now, exactly. If it gives you... any indication, the Glenmorangie Scotch Single Malt Highland 12-year, a 750-milliliter bottle I can buy online right now for anywhere from $21 to $35.
That's for a bottle.
Yeah. And that's fairly, I mean, that's a reasonable price because for a single malt.
Well, I mean, I paid $9 for a pour, and you got an entire bottle for the cost of three glasses of this.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, you also have to take it the fact that you're at a pub, so you're going to get wrecked for pricing anyway.
Yep.
And a black label I can get for anywhere from $32 to $50. I mean, I don't think I've ever paid $50, but I guess you could. Depends on where you're located, of course. But just doing a quick Google search just to see. So $9 a pour, end result is probably better left buying a bottle. But spending $9 and finding out you don't like it is probably better than spending the $20.
Yeah, it's hard to pick a bottle when you're in the store.
Yeah, which goes back to our problem at hand. So you get the 10. Now, Luke.
Yep.
You have, well, I guess I should do a 15 before you do like a crazy like one that's older than me.
Oh, there you go.
So what I have is the Glenfiddich 15. Now, I bought this because I liked it when I was at Tales of the Cocktail. And it's a Solera process, which means it's going to basically as it's distilling, they move the scotch from cask to cask, take a little bit out of each, and kind of rotate them around to make one like uber awesome blend. But it's a blend of the same thing, so it's not a blended scotch, you know. It's a single malt combined. Like a transfer.
Sure, you don't have like a bad batch or something.
Right. And it gives you a different complete flavor as opposed to the way they would normally do it. This one, I think, again, is probably a Highland. I'm checking here. I don't know if it says on here. Distilled, matured, and bottled, blah, 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 Solera.
You got the, what is it, the Glenfiddich 15-year?
Yeah.
We got that listed under the space side on our menu.
Oh, really? Oh, so they actually break them out into sections over there?
Yeah, it's really nice.
Okay.
You've got Bayside, Highland, Island, Islay, and then Campbelltown.
Oh, all right. So there you go. You've got a few different places where I don't have any of that cool information, nor do I have anything that really fits. Oh, yeah. You got Bayside, Highland, Lowland, Campbelltown, Campbelltown, and Islay. Yeah. Okay, I had that. That's in my notes. I struck gold. I don't think that the, I don't know, maybe it's the 10, but the 15-year doesn't have a lot of alcoholic burn, in my opinion. Like, I get more of a malty brown sugar and sweetness, which I think is kind of desirable, because it smells like I want to drink it.
Yeah. Now, have you had a 15-year that's, like, not the one that's been moved around between different casks?
I have two, but not from the Glenfiddich. I have had them while I was doing the tasting, but I couldn't tell you which one was. I think the 18 was the best at that time, but I can't remember the big differences. This one, though, it's got a little spiciness to it. It is a little hot, warming. I wouldn't say I want to go get drunk right now or just by smelling it, but it definitely has a lot of its taste properties in the drink. A little sweet, and it's... In my opinion, it's a little bit thin, and I don't know, like, if you guys have a preference on, like, do you like a thicker, like, a viscous style of drink, or do you like something that's a little more...
Yeah, I don't have enough familiarity with a really cheap style. I think I'd want a thicker one, kind of the way I like my beer, but I don't know, maybe a thinner one.
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily know if I have a preference between thicker or thinner, but... just like Mike said, there's nothing wrong with having a thicker drink.
Yeah. I think it gets thicker as I drink it, though. Maybe it's just me.
That could be it, yeah.
But it does, it's just a little bit not as, it's good. It's different. That's the other thing, is a lot of them are, you know, putting them all together, they all tend to be a little different. So you can't have a bad experience, you just have a different experience.
That's one thing about that, God. It's kind of what you were saying earlier, I don't want to get drunk off this. My goodness, you take a whip of... your glass, and you immediately think, I don't think I could have a whole lot of it. And it's really something to sip and enjoy. It's not something you go get trashed on.
Right.
Which will lead me into my second point. I've had Glenfiddich, I really like it. But the first time I had it was when I was in England, you know, 4 years ago or so. And we walked up to the bar. We just wanted shots or something. But we figured we were there. We might as well have something good and something local or semi-local. So we're like, all right, what's a good scotch? What's a good whiskey? And the guy gave us Glenfiddich, and Fred and I just like, all right, cool. And we just downed the shots with them.
Yeah.
And the guys next door were just like, what are you doing? It is completely wrong, but I really liked it. So, I mean, it had more layers to sip on. But, not the type of thing you're going to line up at the bar.
No. See, here's the deal. If what you're doing now also stands out. But there's a difference. People are probably looking at you going, they're wearing suits. These guys are pros. They're drinking scotch.
Happening right now.
Right?
They're looking at us.
That's what they're thinking, though. But if you're doing shots of scotch at the bar, then people are looking at you, but there's a different reason.
Yeah.
Like, what a waste of money.
Shots at the bar if you're doing it wrong.
And you're fools, and, you know, you don't want to be that guy.
You're still using the phrase weirdo when you look at us, but not going away.
Right. It's a different type of weirdo. So what do you got over there? What do you want to start with, Luke?
The first one that I've been drinking is the Glenlivet Endura Triumph 17-year.
It was a which one? People are yelling over you.
Sorry. Led Zeppelin. I think they're yelling over me.
Oh.
But that's the Glenlivet Endura Triumph 17-year.
Oh, the Glenlivet 17?
Yeah. So it is quite delicious. It has a nice smokiness to it. And
smoky. Which one was that at region?
That's the Speyside.
Oh, Speyside, same thing?
I would think that'd be pretty similar to yours, Derek. I mean,
yeah.
Glenlivet, I get those confused in my mind enough. But a 15 versus a 17,
I'm just not getting. I'm not getting the smokiness from it.
Well, maybe I'm misinterpreting.
Well, I mean, it could be different malt.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. If you think it's smoky, I'd go with what you're instinct is. I just think mine, maybe it should be, but there's so much more like caramel or like, I don't know, cinnamon. No, not even cinnamon, like brown sugar to it, that I'm just not getting the smokiness.
Yeah. Overpowering.
So, again, give me some flavors.
Flavors, yeah. I almost want to say like a hickory kind of thing. So it's just smoky, but it's got a wood.
So a woody, smoky hickory?
Yep.
That sounds tasty. Like maybe you should have some ribs with that?
It's just delightfully warm. Now instead of having a Guinness chicken sandwich.
Guinness?
A Guinness chicken sandwich.
Guinness chicken sandwich?
Yep.
Must have marinated in the beer or something before they threw it on the fryer, I guess.
Yeah.
That's different. I guess, I mean, that would probably be pretty tasty. Does it have like a nice foamy white head on it?
If you consider the cheese the foamy white head, yeah.
No, probably not. But sure, I'll buy that. Okay, so you got a smoky one from the same kind of area that mine is. Anything else? Like, what color is it? Is it still a gold?
It is. Nice little golden. It's a little bit darker than Mike's, I think, but not a whole lot. I was comparing the three drinks that I have, and the...
Definitely the lightest of your three.
Rich Leite is the darkest of them, but not by much. They're very similar.
Yeah. Yours should probably be darker, considering they're older, right?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know Scotch quite well enough at this point to know if age and color have much association.
So it should.
Yeah.
It should extract a lot of that color from the barrels.
Right. That's what I mean. That's how it works with most other distilled anything, from tequila to bourbon, you know, or whatnot. Even rum is gonna. I mean, with a light rum, you're still getting some of the discoloration from the barrels, even though they're not in for very long. And then they bleach that out with either filtration systems or whatever to get them clear again, so it looks better. Doesn't add anything to it. Probably takes away a little bit. So I don't really know. So a rundown of just a little bit about Scotch we have. It's got to be made in Scotland. That's a must. It's got to be matured in Scotland, so it's pretty much resting there. 94.8% ABV or less. No additives besides caramel color and water. And I'm guessing the caramel color would probably be used by like some of these brands like Scoresby, where you get a four-year-old Scotch. They probably put some caramel color in there to get it to look older.
Yeah.
I don't
make it look legit.
Yeah, you gotta make it look. You don't want it to look like clear, like a dirty tequila. And you can of course blend it in single malt styles. There are a few that come to mind for like the different malts. You have your single malt, which is 100% malted barley, all from one distillery. So if you think about how that works, you're gonna get from the single malts in this case, and why they're probably serving them is they're gonna be so distinct, but they're from a single distillery. So every distillery could be different. Which probably is, and thus they're all going to have their own different profiles and tastes and wondrousness, if you will. And then there's a single grain, which is just from a grain whiskey from a single distillery. There's blended malt whiskeys, which is a single malt whiskey from different distilleries. We're not really looking at blended malt whiskeys right now. We're not doing any of the blended stuff, so you can pass on that type of stuff. The single malt Scotch whiskey is supposedly, now I took this from LochLomondDistillery.com, I think, and they said that single malt Scotch whiskey is also called because it consists strictly of malt whiskeys from a single distillery that must not contain any whiskeys from other distilleries, and it must be distilled in copper pot stills. So they set their rules. And then there you have your different single malts produced in Scotland. You've got your, like we said, our Speyside malt whiskeys tend to be classified by their area of origin, and your areas being Speyside, Highland, Lowland, Campbelltown, and Islay. Of course, that doesn't necessarily mean that just because we get a bunch from Speyside that they're all going to be the same, because it's still different distilleries. They're just in the same region.
Yeah, I mean, you can get, it's like beer, right? I mean, you can get five different IPAs that can all be extremely different beers.
Right.
All kind of, you know, what goes into it.
And honestly, I think if you get two home brewers and they both have the exact same recipe, I don't really know if they'd come out exactly the same. And that, I guess, I think that that adds some uniqueness to it, but it also removes, if you want to do a mass production, that is also to say that the same person could create two recipes, and if they don't do it exactly the same, it might not taste the same.
That's why they blend them, I'm sure.
Right.
I mean, that's why the one that you're drinking right now goes from cask to cask, and you know, any sort of differences between them kind of gets mellowed out when you mix it with the other ones.
Right, because you're going to get those that have been sitting in the cask for a while, so they're going to be darker, probably like a little more of the cask in, brought into them, a little more oakiness, with a little of the lighter stuff, you know.
Well, and then think about it. Like, you're making a whiskey or a scotch today, and somebody's going to be drinking in 30 years.
Right.
And, you know, if they buy two bottles of it, you would expect them to be the same. You know, as a consumer, you'd be like, oh, I'm going to spend a lot of money on this bottle of scotch. You'd expect that second bottle of the same vintage to be the same product.
Right.
And when you're making so much, you know, mass production, hey, you got to find ways to figure that out.
How do you do, now, I don't know how this is, I guess it could be different, but if you, using that same logic, if you buy a 30-year-old bottle today that was literally 30 years old, and you buy that another 30-year-old bottle in 10 years from the same distillery, they can't be the same, you know, they're not obviously the same 30 years, they're separate makes, will they taste the same? I don't know.
I'm sure there'll be differences between them, much like a wine of vintage would be different, I'm sure, but you expect it to be able to stand the test of time.
Right, and, and the, I guess the only big difference there is because the wine is a fruit, you could really screw up a vintage. Like, you can make it go swing the complete opposite direction.
Yeah.
Where this, I think, is more of an art form. You get a you know, a master distiller and a blender and somebody who goes through these casks and tries to say, this is our 30-year vintage. He's going to put a seal on it. He's going to be the guy that knows people are going to like it.
Yeah.
And I think that's
amazing to talk to those guys.
Right.
I have to do that sometime.
And exactly, and of course, the guy I talked to did that. But it was he's a blender, so he blends the like the black labels and stuff. And those, I think, are even more artistic because they've got to make, you know, a blended scotch taste the same almost every time.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure Johnny Walker.
Anything tastes the same every time. It's going to be quite difficult.
Right. And Johnny Walker's probably got, you know, they've got their label they got to stand up to. If I go to a bar in 10 different, you know, cities, which I have done, and ordered black label in them, they, I want it to taste the same because that's why I ordered it.
Yeah. Have you had the blue label?
I have not had the blue label.
It's quite tasty.
Is it? It's not too oaky?
You know what? I was fine with it.
Yeah. Because I think
a little bit. It wasn't a full pour. It was just a little bit of it. But
yeah, but come on, that's more than I had. So you got that going for you.
I don't even know what a pour that would cost. A lot.
Yeah. Considering the bottle is about $200.
Yeah.
It's probably up there. But again, it's a blended, so it should taste the same every time. And for $200, you know, I hope it tastes the same as the one
exactly.
I like.
Exactly. And that's what they're up against.
And that would be tough. Now, Mike, you have another one you want to try out?
I do. Before my battery dies here. Yeah. Take a look here. So this is the, and I may not be pronouncing this right, but the Left Pro Egg. 10 years?
La Pro Egg 10 year, okay.
So, I mean, this is a much darker scotch. Last one was like a Corona. This one, it almost looks like a golden rum.
Oh, really? Golden rum. Islay. Now I'm looking.
It smells like basketball. it's like a rubber ball and. Like sweaty jeans. I don't know. That's not too appealing.
Really? You don't like sweaty gym socks?
Just smoke, but I guess kind of being the dominating characteristic.
Smoke?
Smoky, yeah.
Smoky, sweaty gym sock?
Jimmy does, right?
On fire, of course. And you're looking at about a $30 to $40. There's a couple out here that are a little too expensive. I'm going to say $30 you should be able to find in this 10-year.
that is, it's all, you know, flavor forward right on the front of your tongue. And this is a tough one to swallow. And that could just be me not being used to scotches at this point. But
not,
well, that's not what I was going to be.
Not good?
Well, it's not bad, but it's like overly smoky and oaky. And it kind of tastes like something I've eaten in a doctor's office. Like, here, put this on your tongue, and you're like, oh, it's not good.
Oh, that's... And how much you pay for that glass?
This one was about $8.
Oh, so a little less than the last one.
A little less than the last one, yeah. Yeah, the last one, like, was easier to drink, but it almost just tastes more like a rail drink. And this one has a lot more flavor to it, but it's not the flavor in the right direction that I think would be something you can really enjoy over a longer period of time. It's more of a... It's unique, but it's not one of those things that you seek out.
Right.
For me. Yeah. I think that's going to change over time.
Yeah. Well, I don't. There are people who like a very smoky, like, or peaty, or certain attributes. I mean, it is a single malt, so you're going to get their whatever they're going for. Maybe that's what they're going for, and if you jump up to a 12 or 15, it's going to get worse, or maybe they'll get more complex, but still have that core, like the smokiness. And
yeah.
Like the black, for me, a Johnny Walker reminds me of oak. Like, there's a lot of dark oaks where the Glenfiddich is more the almost like a spice rack in some ways. So, you know, there's completely different way of looking at things, and you might find that you don't like smoky ones, and I don't think that's a problem because there's so many different varieties.
Yeah. Flavor palette will change over time.
That's true, because I didn't really have a lot of scotch either, and I was totally against it. And then I completely changed, and now I have like at least 6 bottles of stuff on the table. I didn't even go through my Cutty Sark or my Doors or anything.
Oh, you have Doors?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a bottle of that at home too. I haven't quite gotten to it yet, though.
Yeah, the white label one. I just got a small bottle. I also got Chivas over there someplace. I don't remember where I put that bottle, though. But, Luke...
Yes.
What else? You got another, like, 25-year over there or something?
I've been working on the Springbank 15-year, which is actually a very, very different drink. So this is one of the Campbelltown versus the Space Dive that the Glenlivet was. But this one is very different type of wood. Kind of got a pine saw type quality to it, really.
Oh, you mean like a juniper?
Yeah. I
mean, or cleaning agent?
Well... thinking more of the cleaning agent just because of it's really powerful, very potent kind of smell and taste. But this one doesn't work so much the whole tongue as it does more the middle of it.
Yeah.
It's a very kind of central type flavor, very powerful up front. It does back away quicker than the possible. This one's the Springbank 15.
That's
the Campbelltown for very left.
And what was a glass of that run you over there? What was that?
$15.75.
A bottle online to buy right now is between $119 and $240.
That's actually not bad at all, though. That's it.
Right. Except if you don't, unless you, I mean, is cleaning agent the best of the qualities, or is there something you really like about it?
Well, it's just the taste of it and the smell of it really reminds me of the smell of pine salt. I mean, I definitely don't dislike it. I do enjoy it, but it's just so much more powerful than the last one. It was very, very jarring.
Right in your face and said, hey, you just bought $100-plus bottle of scotch. How do you like that for?
Yeah, this is definitely a sipper. You can't drink that as quickly as you could other ones. And
so no shots?
Nope, no shots. That's too bad because I just ordered a shot.
A 3-ounce shot.
Yeah,
it's about $40. Bam, done. So
get drunk.
There's so many easier ways to get drunk.
Yeah, that's true.
Be like, I'll just take a Bud Light or 5.
I mean, at the same time, sure. I mean, scotch is definitely more expensive than beer, things like that, but
I have two or three glasses of scotch, and I feel very good for the whole night.
Yeah, well, two or three, yeah, that's true. I usually, well, it depends. When I'm playing World of Warcraft, I kind of keep pouring it, and I don't pay attention.
World of Warcraft and scotch, yes.
Yeah, which is, it's like taking something that, it's like an oxymoron. It's like taking this thing that's kind of high-end and taking a thing that's kind of low-end and combining them. But yeah. I think in one night of raiding, I went through a third of my Delwini 15, so that's not too bad. And you know what? It's because you're sipping it, you're not getting, it's not like, I don't know, a cocktail like that has juices in it, but they still maintain the 40% ABV, right? Where you're going in there drinking one, and you're like, I'm still thirsty, and you get a second. Yeah. And or it's like a screwdriver, right, where it's just this hidden amount of alcohol. This, like you said, it's so potent and so powerful that it slows down your drinking.
Yep, you have to.
And
yeah, like it's slowing me down right now. I've only got, you know, 4 ounces of liquor in front of me.
Right. And I can appreciate that and respect that, and I guess that's what we probably should do with it, because it's like it's supposed to be flavorful. I've got, and this one I have here is the Highland Park Single Malt 15, and I bought this on recommendation by somebody that I know from Scotland. So I can't, I mean, you can't do that. You can't not buy something that somebody likes from Scotland.
Sorry, we're seeing costumes walk out of costumes.
What happened?
People in costumes here were just commenting on the costumes. I think one of them is Hit Girl, the purple hair one.
Yep, absolutely.
Purple hair.
Sorry, tangent.
Tangent! The Highland Park has a little more of the alcohol flavor that the Glenfiddich didn't have. It's got less brown sugar appeal and a little more oakiness. I'm still not getting too much smokiness out of it, though. I'm looking. I mean, if you put your nose in too deep, it burns. Well, let me finish my Highland, because this is pretty good stuff.
I'm good.
Well, there you go.
It's got to be.
So, this is a little...
Really?
Hold on. I'm trying to hear what you have playing in the background. Somebody's yelling. So this is a little sweeter, but not as sweet as the last scotch. I think that there's a lot more unique, dynamic flavors to the Highland Park, a little more than the Glenfiddich 15. But yet, I still like the idea of having that sweeter scotch compared to this non-sweet scotch.
Uh-huh.
I think it's got a little more oak properties, and I'm a big fan of like the black label, so the oak thing works for me. Too much is a little killer. Mm. Overall, though, it's very striking. It really bites you in the back of the throat with like a little bit of fire, little upfront sweetness, very round. I think that's probably the more expensive of the brands that I bought. And it's got a little more weight to it. It's got a little more flavor to it. And it really coats your tongue. I think I kind of like that a little bit better. Now you had the 17, the 15. Do you have any other ones?
Yes, I have one more. I jumped ahead a little bit. I still have a little bit of that Springbank, but I've been sipping on the, and this is the one I can't really pronounce all that well, Buena Habain 18 year.
Yeah.
And this is the, I think actually all my drinks are the same 1575, but yeah, but this one is more like the Glenlivet. It's, try again.
You know what? I can still manage to find it in Google by just typing what I think you said. Buena Habain 15-year scotch, and it comes up as a scotch.
Yeah, and this one is much more full-flavored than the Springbank was. So yeah, it's definitely more of like the Glenlivet, but it's also a lot... let's get the check. It's more bitter.
Yeah.
More potent, and this one has... trying to decide if it's more of a cinnamon type flavor. Either cinnamon or brown sugar or something like that. But I'm thinking cinnamon. But yeah,
all spice.
There you go. Yeah. And Mike's phone died, by the way. So he's, whatever you hear from him is being picked up by my mic.
Wait, I figured that. I could, I saw him drop off.
Yep.
Charge your phone. That's what you do.
Well, yeah, he charged it the whole way here, and it wasn't enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The
for the 15-minute drive.
Oh. We were gonna,
yeah, he wasn't.
Oh,
we
right, right.
That.
You were planning on doing the laptops until that didn't work out.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, yeah, that makes sense. Now I can understand why you would go someplace with a Skype on there but not charge it.
Yep. Yeah, but this is a very, very potent drink. It's more, let me try the spring bank again.
So you have that spiciness that the Glenfiddich has, it sounds, like the brown sugar.
Yeah. Yeah, and wow.
You almost want to say spiced rum, but without the rum.
I'm sure I'm tainting my palate going back and forth between the two of them, but yeah, the Bonahaiban and the Springbank are both very potent. They have about the same potency, I'd say. Kind of a sharp flavor to them, but definitely enjoying both. But as far as a nice, smooth, relaxing drink, I'd say definitely go with more of a Glenlivet.
Yeah. But you still like the, do you like the Bonahaiban better or more like the better than the last one you just did, which was the spring?
Yeah, just because of the more expansive taste. It's not so central to my taste buds.
Was that a spring bank? What was it, spring bank 17?
15.
I'm just writing them down while I had a chance. And then
I had the 15, 17, and 18.
Right, 15, 17. Wait, 15, 17. So the Bonahaiban is what year?
That one is the 17.
Oh, 17.
Ooh. Or, no, sorry, 18.
18. All right. That's cool.
Reading is a challenge right now. Just
I can understand. The Bonahaiban 18, a bottle seems to go for about $78 to $100. So it's not
too interesting.
Now, the sharpness that you're getting is sort of like what I'm getting in the Highland Park, yet the spiciness you're getting is more from the Glenfiddich. So yours sounds like it's almost like a somewhere middle of the line of the Highland Park and the Glenfiddich.
Yeah.
And what was the other? You've done three now?
Yep.
What was the other one?
The Springbank and the Glenlivet Nandura Triumph.
Oh, yeah, the Glenlivet, and that was a 17?
Yep.
All right. And then my last I have is the Dalwhinnie 15. Now, this is the one, I don't know why I was told to buy this, but I for some reason I liked it and I wrote it down or something. There's some magic behind why I bought this. It wasn't, I don't think it was because of the picture. But it's got much more warmth to it, maybe even a little more alcohol to it. It's got a good balance of oak and some... I almost want to say rubber tire for a second there, but that passed. Maybe it's a smokiness to it. I don't really get that either. It's a little sharper than the other two. It's a little more big boy, I think. Like there's a little more burn, a little more flavor, a little more roundness, a little more of everything that the other ones brought to the table. But the finish goes on longer than the others, and it leaves a dry finish almost. So I like a little dry tongue. So you almost have to go back and sip it again.
Interesting.
So I don't really know what that means, but I mean it can't be that bad of a thing. I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty good.
So here's a question for you: with your drinks, have you been putting in any ice or water or anything like that?
I did put I'd say maybe 10 milliliters of water, or you know, a little bit. White.
Yeah, I just realized right now that I had completely neglected to do that. And of course, they say that you really need to put in an ice cube or a little bit of water to really unlock the full flavor of it.
Yeah, you'll get a little more aroma that way. There'll be a little more flavors in there. I've done them both. I used to try to drink it the other way, but mainly because I just don't like it to get diluted too much. But when and it's actually, maybe it's different there. But when I was out in California last week, I found that it was complicated for them to make it correctly. I said I wanted a black label with two ice cubes. And it was like I get anywhere from like two pieces of shredded ice in there barely floating around, or it would be like half full of ice. And if you just say on the rocks, they pack the thing halfway full of ice and then they pour a finger.
Not bad.
And you're like, that's really not what I'm looking for.
As a random aside, one of the reasons why I really like coming here is this is the only place I've ever ordered a drink neat and they knew what I was talking about.
So
every place else just looks at me like I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
That's you got some party over there now. That's kind of like the way I test a good place is by how they interpret what I'm saying. If they have a clue, like if they just say we don't have that, or like they understand what you're saying, but then they say they can't help you. I don't mind that as much as the blank stare.
Yeah.
So I've never ordered. Did I drink? No. Normally I say I want like scotch, blah blah blah. Like I want scotch, or can I have a? I'll take a Johnny Walker Black. And if they say, "Do you want it on the rocks or not?" then I usually say not, or just a couple pieces of ice. I never, you know, say neat because I don't want to confuse people.
Yeah.
But unless I do, sometimes you do want to confuse people because they think they're awesome.
Exactly.
It brings them back down to earth. And if they answer, then you're like, okay, so they are awesome. I can accept that. So do you have anything else that you want to add to what you have thus far? Like, have you learned anything in the experience of drinking a single malt scotch?
Well, one thing, like I had pointed out, I didn't put any ice in my drinks before.
Yeah.
And I just did. And this just kind of reinforces the idea that I have that I, even though you're supposed to, I really don't like doing it.
Right.
Because it, to me and my taste buds, it feels like it dilutes it. I don't really like it as much. I don't know. It's strange.
There is a chemical purpose to it. I learned it when I was at Tales of the Cocktail on how the water draws out the aroma. Because apparently aroma molecules, they get trapped with the, inside of the alcohols. Because the molecules, they bond in a specific way that kind of puts them inside as little pockets. So when you bring in the H2O, it basically rips apart those alcohol molecules and the aromas start to rise to the top and make a more predominant, like, presentation, if you will. So I think, personally, like, I just put a little bit of water in mine. I don't really like them to be chilled too cold because I feel it diminishes some of the flavor, like, that I would normally be getting. It will, of course, reduce some of that alcohol. Like, if you said you think it has, like, a cleaning fluid, as it chills, it's probably going to go away.
Yeah.
I think. So, you've tried them now with ice. Did they bring ice over for you?
Oh, they brought ice over from the start. I just now actually paid attention.
Oh, I see. And did anything change where you like or dislike one in a different way?
Well, with the Bon Haibon one, the 18-year, that one, I felt like it diluted it.
Yeah.
And the doesn't quite have the power to it anymore. Don't like it as much.
Oh, really?
With the Springbank, I put a cube in there, and I'm not really getting much of a difference, I don't think.
No. So no big change for you then?
Not really, but then again, since I'm going back and forth between the two, it's harder to say for sure.
Now, did Mike put ice in his?
I don't believe he did.
Oh, he screwed
up
too.
Not that I noticed anyway.
Oh, that bastard. All right.
But
so you have some doers at home now. Is this something you'd go? I'm like, are you now kind of experiencing scotch, or have you kind of been going down that road for a little bit? And this was your explosive reentrance into the genre.
Well, I started off with whiskey, and it was fairly recently, within the last couple months, that I really had scotch for the first time and really enjoyed it. So. Yeah, I guess it's been a relatively recent thing, though I've been in the general family for a while now.
Yeah, see, I went the opposite. I started with scotch because I had a bad experience with bourbon and whiskey in general. So I started, since I had a bad experience with bourbons and whiskeys and stuff, I went and I attacked it from the scotch angle. It allowed me to experience the scotch, get an idea of the flavors, which are not too unlike a bourbon, and then kind of bring me back into that family. Without the scotch, I don't know if I could have entered back into that. So it's a different way of getting there, I guess. Yeah. Reverse. All right. Well, you want to wrap it up then?
Finish it off.
All right. So what I hope everybody's gotten from this, if anything, besides hearing some Led Zeppelin and some AC/DC,
exactly.
In you know, going live. And I think what you guys did, which is kind of cool and something I think I would encourage other people to do that are listening to this and understand or don't understand anything about Scotch whiskey or are at our level, is go out to see if you could find a bar like this, like a little place that has a good appreciation for single malts and maybe even blended, and kind of put it together and experiment with a few, with just even three or four. You might spend a little bit of money, but you're going to get a sense of what you might like and what you might not like, and then you can go out and invest in a $60 bottle of single malt.
Yeah, and if you're ever in Des Moines, Iowa, and you want to try some good scotch, definitely come out to Royal Mile. Yep, and also the Red Monk is another pub that's directly above it. Both of them are just wonderful. They have very good drinks.
So I don't know when the next time I'm in Des Moines, but now I know where I'm going.
Exactly.
Maybe if I fly by it, I'll stop in for a drink.
We will take you on the town and show you the spots.
Awesome. Next trip, Des Moines, Iowa. It's a podcast reunion. We're going to bring all of our fans there.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not. But, you know, if they want to fly out on their own dime. So, for our previously disconnected Mike in his 0% charged iPhone, Luke with his iPhone, these little iPhoners. This is Derek, and you've just been buzzed by Everyday Drinkers. You can find us at everydaydrinkers.com. Go out, buy yourself a bottle of scotch, get drinking, learn what you're doing, and tell us what you think. Oh, come on, freaking rainbow. Rainbow! All right.
Spinny beach ball of doom.
Yeah, all right, let's see how this works. We'll have some crosstalk while I'm doing the introduction. We respect, or no.
And I think it should also be stated that we're wearing suits, so we look amazing.
Yeah, right
now. And it's going to be my work.
You're wearing suits?
Yeah, I think it adds to the flavor.
Maybe. I never looked at it that way.
Halloween, suit up, go out, have some stuff.
So does everybody wearing suits around you, or are you just the only two weirdos wearing suits?
We are the only two wearing suits for sure. There was a gentleman wearing a miner's helmet. I saw a girl with pink hair. There was a bear over there. So, you know, we're pretty lighted. We're blending. Like our scotches.
Exactly.
Single malts.
Yeah, single malt blended. It would have been a good play if it were that's what right. We're doing. Yeah, but that's okay.
Actually, it was because we're somewhat single
malt. There you go. And you've got phones.
Yep, exactly. That's, and we
look like a couple nerds sitting in the corner talking to our headphones and our iPhones and eating and drinking.
You know, you could be talking to each other and people would be like, why don't they just look at each other?
Well, we're really confusing our waitress because she keeps walking up to us. We're like, not even looking at each other, and yeah, exactly, talking.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
It's all good.
Anything for you, Derek.
So, So, you're. And now I'm looking at a profile picture of you. Is that what you look like right now?
Yep.
So, you're. That
freshly
is.
Dyed hair.
You dyed your hair?
Because for my Halloween costume, I went as Hank Venture. So I bleached my hair, so it's pretty light.
Yeah.
But that look wasn't so much working for me, so I bought some dye, and I dyed it tonight.
Twice,
yeah. Twice? Because I got a reddish one, a mahogany. And according to the box, I should have looked pretty brown with a little red tint, but that didn't happen. It was red tint, and that was it. And it kind of started to go a little bit orange. So then I got a box of dark brown, and so now I'm dark brown red. I don't know.
But it
like
doesn't look
some
weird.
Sort of a metal, aluminium type
and
thing.
And it dies.
But overall, it doesn't look like you're a freak, besides the fact that you're wearing a suit.
Suit up, yeah.
You kind of, you're looking a little bit like, you ever watch, what's that show on TV with How I Met Your Mother?
Yes, Barney Stinson.
Yes, you're like Barney.
Exactly.
You're in the pub.
Here's the inspiration. That's where the whole suit up thing comes from.
I've never actually seen somebody take that to heart, though. You going to do that everywhere?
I take that to heart. It's amazing. But this is the first night that we've really gotten into our suits, and we realized our suits are too big, so we need new suits.
Wow. This is a good moment for you. Well, it's better that you suit up, find out they're too big, than have to go to like a wedding or a funeral, and then you got to do this all at the last minute.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Probably not even bourbon. Whoa, call remotely held. We're on intermission. Yeah, he's missing. There you are.
There you are.
What'd you do?
Somebody called me.
Oh, and it holds you.
Yeah, so I got put on hold. Yeah.
Bastard. Anyway, what I was saying is I did a little intermission song for you.
Nice.
Is that, what was I saying? Oh, yeah.
I could see it. Yeah, they're talking to you. I hadn't thought the things on Ruffy Major.
Hold on. You're
Wait,
getting,
are you there?
You're getting all messed up.
Hello.
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 Hello, computer. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Oh, maybe it's still on hold.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
Okay.
And then you can add your outro music.
Exactly. It will be added.
Sweet.
Wait, that's the intro music.
Close. It's like the same thing. And you need to get a suit. Everybody needs a suit.
Yeah, I need a suit that fits. Says Mike.
Yeah, you do.
Doesn't stop us from looking amazing, though.
Nobody will notice you're sitting there drinking scotch. You'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm badass. Hello.
Yeah.
All right, sir. I will let you get back to your chicken basted whatever stuff you got.
Yeah. Stout. And Mike, since he's been sitting here just drinking his beer.